If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to read from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read just a few verses about the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is what it says. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Amen. When I was growing up, when I was a little boy, one of my favorite TV game shows was Catchphrase. It was on a Sunday afternoon. Actually, do you know what? I have to tell the truth. It was my second favorite TV show. My favorite was Bullseye, if anyone remembers Bullseye. I don't know if you, the young people who are up on the balcony, you're looking at me and you're thinking, I don't remember Bullseye. Honestly, go home, YouTube it, right? Have a look at the amazing, it was just a wonderful show. So it was, right? And when you've watched it, don't judge me, okay? It was good at the time, and we only had three channels. What more do you want, right? But nevertheless, Catchphrase, right? Bullseye didn't work for this illustration. Right? So I couldn't make Bullseye work, but Catchphrase works, right? You know what Catchphrase is, right? That is one of your favorite shows you've got. The idea is there's a big picture, right, on the screen. There's a big picture up on the screen, hidden behind some squares, and slowly but surely, right, the picture gets revealed. You have to guess what the catchphrase is. Would you like to play?
Yes.
You would like to play? Would you like to play, right? We're going to try this. Right? David, if you cue the video, you can play the music. Actually, if you want, play it. Let's have a little flavor of the music. Okay. So the idea is, here we go. You ready? You've got to guess, as the things are removed, you've got to try and guess what they are. All right? First person who guesses and can shout out, good luck, it says. Here we go. I couldn't get the real catchphrase, so we have to make do with this. Ear? No, it's not ear. It's good, but it's not the one. Does anybody know?
A bird in the...
Scott Cowan, a little birdie told me. I tell you. Absolute fantastic. Next one. We're going to do two. Let's have another one. See if you can get this one. This is hard, this one. But I'd like to tell you, I got it when I watched it. No, no. No, it's good, but it's not the one. Say what you see. Who said cupcake? Cupcake, that's the one. Very good. Very good. Thank you, David. Thank you. There you are, cupcake. If anybody is interested, you can go on and you can also get Catchphrase on YouTube and play it all afternoon if you want. I like Catchphrase, but it's hard. I find it really, really hard. I find it hard when I can only see part of the picture. When I can't see the big picture, I can only see part of it. And I think Christmas is a lot like that. We see a baby in a manger, and we see some lovely angels, and we see three wise men. There's always three. Always three wise men, and we see some sheep and some shepherds. And it's nice, but it's hard to understand. It's difficult to see what is really going on. What we need to do is to see the big picture. To just have wonder at the big picture. So this morning, that's what I want to do for us. This morning, I want to go back to the beginning. Right to the beginning of the Bible and go through the Bible. Only take me 3 or 4 hours, it's fine. So we see and understand the big picture. Because the big picture is amazing. Because the Christmas story, believe it or not, starts right back in the beginning, way before a stable and shepherds, to a moment when Adam and Eve made a fatal decision. Adam and Eve in the garden with Satan, the serpent. And the serpent says, did God really say that you must not eat of the trees in the garden? And Eve says, well, no, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. You must not eat or even touch it or you will die. And the serpent says, no, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And the woman was convinced. Now, here's the thing. It's not really about an apple. Both Adam and Eve and every baby born since, so that includes all of us, decided that they would rebel against God. That they would like to be God rather than to listen to God. That no one will tell us what to do. We don't like it when people tell us what to do, do we? We really don't like it. We will decide what we do. We'll decide our own future, our own rules. My life, my rules. Do you know, almost every problem, I've been thinking about this week, almost every problem in the world can be traced back to selfishness. The desire to put ourselves first. I haven't got all the time in the world to explain all of that and open it all out. But let me give you one example. We want to redistribute the wealth of our world. We love that idea. What a great idea that is. Yes, the people in other countries, they should have more. Just as long as I don't have less. As long as I don't have to give up my wealth. The truth is that we want things to operate to our rules, our way. The history of humanity, by the way, is not going up. It's going down. But while there were problems from the beginning, there was also a promise that one day someone would come, someone would be born who would defeat the serpent and his lies. The promise was repeated again and again in good times and in bad. And one of the worst times came when God's people were ruled by a king called Ahaz, King Ahaz. He and his army were surrounded. Disaster looked like it was inevitable. And God gives him one last chance. He says, one last chance. He says, ask God for anything. Ask him for a sign. God will give you it. And Ahaz says, no, I don't need rescue. I'm not asking God for anything. And God, through the prophet Isaiah, said this: God himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Do you understand what a promise that is? Do you know, a few weeks ago, I held my newest niece in my arms. I don't know, 2 weeks old, something like that. And even as a parent myself, you forget. You do forget. When they get older and a bit, you know, more annoying, you forget. You know, you forget. My children are looking at me. You forget just how vulnerable they are. Just how small they are. How their little tiny hand just, you know, grips around your finger. Can you imagine that the core of the Christian faith is that there was a time when God was like that? It's not how we think God would come. Surely he would come in power and just boom. What kind of God would come as a baby? In the most vulnerable, delicate, dependent form you could imagine. What kind of God would do that? And no one else has ever been able to beat the lie. No one has ever been able to beat the lie. And yet, our God comes as a baby. But here is the amazing, breathtaking, big picture. God could have beaten the serpent with power. One day he will. God is stronger, he's greater, he's more powerful, he wins. Spoiler alert. But he came this way because he wanted us back. He wanted his children back. That's why he came as one of us, bound by all the limitations of humanity, even death. He came to buy us back. All that injustice, all that suffering, all that vulnerability, to buy us back. You know, humans, and I absolutely, passionately believe this, humans are hardwired for hope. We are. If I go down to the youngest here this morning, I ask them what they hope for, some of them will give me a big long list. Humans are hardwired for hope. If I ask even the adults what they hope for, some of them, well, most of them, will probably say a rest. I hope for a rest. But you know that one of the most hurtful, damaging, destructive things that you can do is to take away someone's hope. Take away their hope. And it's like you take away a bit of them. That's why we get all upset. Because if we hope for Brexit, we get really annoyed with people who don't want Brexit. Because they're taking our hope away. But do we dare? Do we dare to hope that in this whole mad spectrum of this world, of this whole universe, that we are loved by our Creator, that we are loved in a way we do not deserve and never thought possible? How about that for a hope? Faced with a choice this Christmas, will we continue to believe that we can make it on our own? That we can beat the lie? Or will we bow the knee to God and say, "You are God with us. The God who came to us. God with us. Our God is with us. He came to buy us back." We're going to watch a video.
Oh, may God teach you the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, it is wisdom's mystery, God with us. Sages look at it and wonder. Angels desire to see it. Some line of reason cannot reach halfway into its depths. The eagle wings of science cannot fly so high, and the piercing eye of the vulture of research cannot see it. God with us. It is hell's terror. Satan trembles at the sound of it. His legions fly apace. The black-winged dragon of the pit quails before it. Let Satan come to you suddenly, and do you but whisper the word, "God with us," and back he falls, confounded and confused. Satan trembles when he hears that name. God with us. It is the laborer's strength. How could he preach the gospel? How could he bend his knees in prayer? How could the missionary go into foreign lands? How could the martyr stand at the stake? How could the confessor acknowledge his master? How could men labor if that one word were taken away? God with us is the sufferer's comfort, is the balm of his woe, is the alleviation of his misery, is the sleep that God gives to his beloved, is the rest after exertion and toil. God with us is eternity's sonnet, is heaven's hallelujah, is the shout of the glorified, is the song of the redeemed, is the chorus of angels, and is the everlasting oratorio of the great orchestra of the sky. God with us. God with us.
Let's pray.
Dear Father God, we pray that you will give us the eyes to see, the ears to listen, that you are with us. Emmanuel, that you love us with an everlasting love, that you came as Emmanuel, as Jesus Christ to earth, to buy us back. May we, in response, simply hold out our arms and say, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For your glory. Amen.